Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
So welcome everybody, and what an honor and a privilege, and I get to drive today. So yes, thank you for the privilege of being able to share God's word. Before we start, let's pray again. Father, I thank you for this wonderful privilege of being able to share your word. There's nothing more exciting than spending time in your word, Lord, and your word is life, Lord. And so thank you for the life that it's going to bring this morning, Lord. And Father, I pray that it would take root in every heart, Lord. I pray for the people online that are watching, Lord, that life and hope would rise up in them, Lord Jesus. Father, we just remember the guys on camp this morning, Lord, and we ask that you'd bless them and that you'd keep them and lives would be changed there too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I must tell you this morning that I can basically go home because my whole message has been preached with the worship songs that you chose, Lou. And the message that Nikki had on her heart. So, okay, it's time for coffee now. Let's go. Yeah, but that's how God works. Hey, it's amazing how he just confirms things over and over and over and over again. Yesterday I had the privilege of spending some time with some ladies, and I was sharing with them about getting into the Word and spending time in the Word. And the Word for me is just... well, what can we say? It is life. And if you start looking at why we spend time in the Word, you know, it brings truth. It brings hope. It is our light. It is the path that we walk on. It is a person. So when we get into the Word, we're meeting with Jesus. And so you cannot stay the same. So, yes, what a privilege to be able to do this. So the message this morning I've entitled, One Day at a Time, Enjoy the Journey. One day at a time, enjoy the journey. That reminds me of that old song. Remember one? I can't sing it because we're on YouTube. But you know which one I'm talking about. So have you ever felt, how on earth are you still going to get or live a victorious life when we're living in a world that is so full of trauma and trouble and anxiety and fear and terrible things? I sound like a real doomsday prophet this morning, hey? But you know what I'm talking about. You know, like the price of petrol, the way food is going up, and it's starting to hit home, you know. And we think to ourselves very often, well, how do we still live a victorious life and cope with all these things? I have the saying that one of my friends always laughs at, you know, life happens. So life happens, and how do we still live victoriously and live a testimony for those around us to look at us and say, look at that person, you know, she loves Jesus and she serves Jesus. God wants us to enjoy our lives right now. It's part of his plan that we don't just live, but we live and have an abundant life. And a life that is a testimony for those around us. So he wants us to enjoy this. I want to use an example. There was recently on America's Got Talent, there was a young girl called Nightbird. Anybody know of this young girlie? And she was riddled with cancer, yet she chose to live her life to the fullest. On one of the last articles that was written about her, they said she lived, she's full of life, even as she is fighting for life. She is full of life, even as she was fighting for life. And her favorite saying was, "You can't wait until life isn't hard anymore to be happy." So a lot of us have that attitude, oh, you know, when this happens or when that happens, then I'm going to be okay, I'm going to be happy. But I believe that God has shown me that if we live one day at a time, it's going to make a difference. Standing in faith and making the best of every moment. In Latin, there's a saying, and I hope I pronounce it correctly, carpe diem, which means to seize the day. It is used to urge somebody to make the most of the present time and to give little thought to the future. To give little thought to the future. You see, if you fear the future, what about this? What if that happens? What happens if the petrol price does hit 40 rand a liter? You know, we start to think about those things. If you fear the future, it's actually going to rob you of the joy that's in today. So let's look. So I've written out my scriptures. I do have my words here, but I've written them out because it's easier for me. Jesus himself instructed us in Matthew 6:34. He said, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So I want to give you a simple example of what this looks like, and I have told my daughter about this because she I thought she might throw something at me when I mentioned it or something, but yeah. So I have the awesome privilege of having little Katie, Melanie's daughter, twice a week, on a Tuesday and a Thursday, my youngest granddaughter, because mommy teaches late and daddy works late, and so I have her until one of them is finished. And often I find myself sitting outside in the garden. We've got a swing chair, and I sit there because the other two grandkids who live on the property, Bella and Josh, will come and play with Katie, and there I sit, and I watch them. She's still too little to leave her to play by herself. So I find myself sitting there watching the kids. You must understand something about me. I have this hectic type A personality. Yeah, Malcolm's laughing at me. So what does this mean? So I'm going to give you a breakdown of what a type A personality is like. I don't have all these issues, but I have a few of them, okay? So type A people tend to multitask. We are competitive. Sorry. I have a lot of ambition, very organized, feel impatient or irritated when delayed, spend much of our time focused on work, and they highly focused on their goals, and they dislike wasting time. So, even though I love my grandkids tremendously, often in these moments of forced sit still and be grand, in my brain it's going, cluck, 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 you should be doing this, you should be doing that, why are you sitting still, you should be doing this. You know, I've got this whole movie playing out in my head. Get up, go, do. And one day while I was sitting out there, God actually arrested me and said, stop. Just enjoy the moment. It's going to be gone like this, and it's actually a gift. It's actually a gift. It's a gift that will quickly pass. I'm awake now. Maybe for you it's an unannounced visitor. And this also would push my buttons, just by the way. It's an unannounced visitor, and this person just arrives, you know, and you feel like, I should be doing X, Y, and Z. And now you must sit still, and you must talk to them. You've got to lay down something that's important to you to spend time with them. Or maybe you go to the bank and you think, I'm going to quickly do this transaction and I'm going to be out in a minute. And it ends up there's this very long queue and you're forced to actually stand there. And you're thinking now, oh my soul, now I'm going to have to do what I plan to do today, tomorrow, and or later on. But have you ever thought that maybe God has allowed this to protect you from something? Or maybe there's somebody in the queue that actually needs a word from you or just a touch from you. You know, hello, I love your beautiful jersey. You know, just some encouragement. We have to understand that, you know, life is very, very short. And that came out in your worship as well. Oh, my soul. It's like, Lord, James 4, verse 14 says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It is here a little while, and then it's gone. And in some translations, that word fog, they use the word mist or vapor. It came out in one of the songs. I can't remember which one. Ivan and I often joke. We say, what is tomorrow? Oh, it's Friday. And that's literally how the weeks go. Tomorrow's Friday. Guess what? Tomorrow's Friday. Guess what? Tomorrow, you know, that's how quick life is. We, as young, all the young, we are the young people, okay? Young people. Yeah. When you tell the young people, you know, that life is going to be quick, they think you're a little bit crazy. But from experience, sorry. Yeah, now I've knocked this thing nearly off my head. From experience, I know that life just flies past. It is very, very quick. We all given the same amount of time. To be exact, 1,440 minutes in a day, 168 hours a week, and over an average of 70 years. I actually Googled, and the current average age at the moment is 72.81 years. How's that? But tomorrow's not guaranteed. Time runs out for all, and so there's no time for procrastination. Billy Graham actually has the beautiful way of explaining this. He says that, and I quote, he says, the bank of time opens a new account each day for you and me. We decide how to invest this. It allows no balances and no overdrafts. If you fail to use the day's deposit, the loss is yours. Ephesians 5 speaks about how to live our lives. And I'd like to highlight verse 16. It says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Make the most of every opportunity. It could be, you know, it might seem a menial task to you, like me, forced, sit still, be grand. But that can have an impact on those children forever and a day. And that's where God wants me for that moment. Maybe you're just stopping in that busy queue in the bank and just saying to somebody, oh, I like your jersey, or are you okay? You know, just chatting with somebody, giving them some time of day can make a huge difference in somebody's life. It may seem menial to you, but it can have a huge impact. Make the most of every opportunity. John 9, verse 4 to 5, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. There's no time to procrastinate. Do what you've been given to do. As I said, no matter how menial you may think it is, may seem to be to you, be the light of the world. There are so many people out there that need to hear about Jesus. So many people. I want to say that our lives are not about, not necessarily about the quantity, but about the quality. Jesus only had 33 years, but every moment counted. Every moment counted. I have to say that is really my heart's cry, that when I live, as I live my life, that every moment will count. And I think that's why I tend to lean to the side of being that type of personality, because I so want my life to count. I don't want to one day leave this earth and I haven't done what God has given me to do. My question for you today, No, I'm not going to ask you a question yet. Sorry. Our lives, yeah, sorry. So Jesus only had 33 years, but every moment counted. The world actually saw him as a failure because he was crucified. But in that moment, he could actually say to the Father that I have completed the work that you gave me to do. My question for you today is, where are you living? Some people live in the past. I remember when there was a huge influx of people from Zimbabwe, we used to call them the Wenwis, because they always used to say, when we did this, and when we did that, and when we... And people living in the past can be stuck in the past. But the word actually warns us about this in Isaiah. Forget the former things, Isaiah 43, 18 to 19, if you're taking notes. I see Bradley's taking notes furiously. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. He goes on to say, I'm doing a new thing. God wants to do great and mighty things in and through you. And with the Lord in our lives, you know, the best is still to come. In saying this, I just want to emphasize that I do believe we must remember what God has done for us in the past. Because when you remember what he did for you in the past, it gives you faith for the future. You can then say, yes, I can trust God. I know that he will come through for me. But we can't live there. You can't get stuck in the past. And then you get people who live in the future. And this is quite a sad place to be. We could call them the when-ahs. When I finish school, when I get my degree, when I get married, when I have children, when I leave home, when I have kids, when my kids grow up, when I retire. You know, that type of outlook. But as we know, the future is unknown, and it's never, ever guaranteed. Never, ever guaranteed. It can also allow fear in your life when you meditate on the what-ifs. If we pull tomorrow's cares and concerns into today, we weigh ourselves down with them instead of trusting God for the future. The Lord has not given us strength for tomorrow today. How's that? I love that. He has not given us strength for tomorrow today. We must have faith for today and hope for tomorrow, but not live there, or we will miss out on what God has for us right under our noses today. Years ago, we had a very, very special friend, and all he wanted was to be in full-time ministry. He was still working, and he ministered where he could and touched people's lives in a huge way. And that's what his heart's cry was, to be in full-time ministry. But in some ways, he was so focused on that he missed out on what was happening around him. He was killed unexpectedly, very young, in a really bad car accident. And when we... at the funeral, many people came and said, you know what, Andrew touched our lives in this way. Andrew prayed for me here. This happened, that happened. He was in full-time ministry, but he was looking over there into the future and not actually enjoying what was happening in his life. We went to go and help his wife pack up his goodies after a while, and a man had actually phoned her and said to her, you don't know me, but Andrew took me for coffee a few days before he died and led me to the Lord. And as we took his wallet out and we packed things away, here was the receipt for the coffee shop stuck in there. And so, yeah, I mean, he left behind a huge legacy that he didn't even know about because he was looking there and not enjoying the moment. But, fantastic people. And then some people live day by day. We can read about how God provided for the Israelites on a daily basis in Exodus 16, 1 to 34. That's your homework for today. I will be phoning you individually this evening to find out if you did it. Each day, they could collect and use what was available. None could be kept for the next day. We tend to hoard because we fear going without. And don't tell me you've never done that. Everybody bought extra toilet paper in COVID. Yeah? I didn't know why I was doing it. I have to be honest for you, but I thought, okay, it sounds like a good idea, but we did it. So we all hoard because we fear going without. But God provided for them on a daily basis for, what, 40 years? And he provides for us on a daily basis too. We simply have to trust him, and we need strength to do this. Deuteronomy 33, verse 25 talks about, as your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. The emphasis again is on days, not weeks or months or years, days. His mercy and his grace is new each morning, giving us strength to deal with what we will face that day. So if you have a one day at a time focus, it also lightens the load. You know, if you've got something really heavy to carry, if you only deal with it at one day at a time, it is easier. I was trying to think of an example, and the only one I could think of was childbirth. So the men will lose out a little bit on this one. But childbirth, if you had to think, oh my soul, I have to enjoy this forever in a day, you would not make it. But if you know, okay, this is going to end, it will end, and you know we will move on, and there will be a good ending to this, the whole story, you will cope. So having that attitude of one day at a time gives us strength as well. I would like you to, or challenge you to have 2 days in your life. One day, this day that you're in currently, and then that day. So a two-day focus, this day and that day. And when I talk about that day, I'm referring to the day that we see him face to face. So our focus should be this day and that day. I'm not saying you mustn't plan for tomorrow. You know, we have to be wise. We have to be wise, and we have to plan. We have to think of whatever you need to do for the future. But you can't live there. You can't live there, and you cannot live in the past. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on what God has for you today. Life is not only about tomorrow. It is far more about today and what God wants to do today. So just quickly, let's go back to one day at a time. It was actually a pattern that God gave us. When he created heaven and earth, that's how he worked. Every day had a start, and every day had an ending. And at the end of the day, he actually said, it is good. He looked and he said, it is good. He declared it was good. Each day is a gift from God to be used, to be enjoyed, and to be celebrated for his glory. When I started, we read in Matthew 6:34 that Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Actually have nothing to do with the future. Each day has its own requirements and needs and pressures and successes and joys and griefs. But God will always give us strength for that day and to carry out what he's called us to do on that day. He also promises that no matter what we face, he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. It's one of my favorite scriptures. He says in that scripture, even to the very end, he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Even to the end of time, he'll be with us. Charles Kingsley wrote, do today's duty, fight today's temptation, and do not weaken and distract yourself by looking forward to the things we cannot see and could not understand if you saw them. I think we would skrik ourselves big time if God did show us things in the future. So, Eve is another very good example of looking in the future. You know, she was quite content with the place she was in, and she was happy, and she was living a good life until she listened to the enemy, and he pointed out to her what she didn't have and what she could have. And she lost her focus, and of course it cost her dearly and cost mankind dearly. Another one was old Abraham, when he started to think, but what happens if it never happens? And he made his own plans, and again, that had disastrous results. He doubted God's promises, Overcoming fear of the future will involve us becoming content and grateful for what we have today. For example, my grandkids, to live in that moment, to enjoy it, to savor it. We lose out on those things when we are not content. Paul is the most wonderful example of being content. He was content even when imprisoned. He was grateful for those who took care of him. And most of all, he was grateful for God's presence. So let's live each day, one day at a time, to the full. This might cost you, and I'm going to go a little bit off the day-to-day for a moment. It might cost you, and it might not be what you have imagined your life to look like. So recently, a very dear friend of mine, I'm sure most of you know her, Thora, wrote a beautiful article, and it was called An Offering That Costs Me Nothing. You see, in this article, she speaks about a very much awaited day off and the plans that she had for it. She had plans for her day off, boy. She was going to do nothing. She was going to enjoy it. She wasn't going to answer the phone. She wasn't going to do anything. She had great plans. Yeah. And in the end, you know, we plan and then God has other plans. Hey? In the end, this day turned out very different to what she'd planned, and it ended up becoming an offering. So in her article, she speaks about David, who'd sinned, and he wanted to build an altar to offer a sacrifice. And the land that the altar was on happened to belong to a man called Arunan. I think it's Arunan. Yeah. Aruna. There we go. Aruna was so in awe that this king was on his property that he said to him, no, you can't pay for this. You can have the land. You can even have my oxen. You can have the ox yokes. You can have basically everything I am and all I am, you can have. And you know, David could have said, oh, great stuff, and just taken it and just accepted that. But you know, he chose to say no. He said, I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offering that cost me nothing. He did not look for the cheapest or the easiest way to please God. So this got me thinking about life and what my walk with God has really cost me, or does it cost me? Like the example that I gave earlier on, you know, when an unexpected visitor arrives and you're thinking, but are you willing to lay down that time? We sang that as well. Do I intentionally choose things that are easy for me to do? Like, you will notice, and I'm being very open and honest, and yeah, don't judge me, okay? You will notice that it's easier for me to gravitate towards my family when we're drinking coffee. It doesn't cost me. It costs me to go to somebody I don't know and talk. Yeah, I'm being open and honest. Do I push ahead with my own plans and ideas when I doubt? Even when I doubt, that's what God wants me to do. I'm not talking about good works here. Please understand me today. I'm not talking about good works and, you know, trying to earn your salvation. But I am talking about dying to self. I've only got 20 more pages. No, I'm joking. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for his friends. And in the end, this is what is actually asked of us. So as we approach this time where we remember what Jesus did on the cross for us and celebrate his resurrection, I ask you, what does the cross represent for you? Nikki was given the scripture in Matthew 16, 24. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Now, some people interpret this as maybe an illness. So I'm going to use the example of maybe cancer. And they say, you know, this is my cross and I must carry it. And some of them even have quite a, you know, pride in it or self-pity. But this is my cross and I will carry it. The other way we can look at the cross is that, you know, as Christians these days, we look at the cross and we see forgiveness, we see grace, we see mercy, we see all those beautiful things. But back in the day when Jesus spoke that, there was nothing beautiful about the cross. All it meant was a horrific, brutal, humiliating death. There was no other meaning to it. He goes a step further in Luke 14, 27 and says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Cannot be my disciple. Ouch. Are we willing to die in order to follow Jesus? So few of us in this room will actually physically die for Jesus. But we have to die to self, to totally surrender to Jesus, to his will and his way. We need to put to death our own ideas, our plans, our desires, and exchange them for his, to crucify our own interests on the cross. So every day, day by day, doing what is purposed for us to do on that day, even if it's a menial task, like I said, or you think it's a menial task, it could be something so simple and yet it means the world to somebody else. Are you willing? We have a choice. Ivan and I recently did a short little study with Christine Kane, All In. And one of the assignments we were given, she asked us to write down what we felt was holding us back from giving all and, you know, doing, jumping in and going off and, yeah, saving the world. And I honestly had to admit that things like my job that provide a steady income, my home where I feel safe. And just to give you a little bit of background, I went to 9 different schools. I was not expelled from any of them, but my dad moved. You know, we would just come home and he would say, okay, right now we have to go. And so I went to 9 different schools and I think I lived in something like 15 different homes before Ivan and I actually bought the current home that we're in. So for me, that is my safe place. My family that I love so much. Those would be things that I would not be ecstatic to give up. I have to be honest. These are big things, but, you know, well, to me, they are big things. Maybe you think, ach, man. But to me, they are big things in my life. But there's also little things, and they are important too. Are we willing to sacrifice by opening up our homes to those who need somebody to listen to them? To lead them closer to Jesus. I know, I just got a blank. Celeste, I nearly called you. Who did I always call you? Celeste opened her home to some ladies yesterday. And wow. And it is a sacrifice, because that's your safe place. Well, yeah, for me it is. Yeah, it's your safe place. Maybe getting up earlier. Many years ago, God challenged me. I'd been looking at a lady who I really look up to, been working through her teachings, and she had committed over, by the time she wrote that, it was 23 years, she'd committed to get up early every single day. And I said, Lord, oh, I get up so early already. And he said to me, well, you could get up earlier, just like that. Yeah. So maybe getting up earlier, maybe giving up TV or series or Netflix and using that time to spend in the Word and pray. Taking care of others over our own needs, sharing what we've been blessed with. Like I said, we tend to hoard our toilet rolls in case we run out of them. Loving the unlovable and those who are against us. Putting others before ourselves. The list just goes on and on. There's so many different things that we could actually offer up. I saw a beautiful little clip. I very seldom watch these clips on YouTube and whatnot else, but this one just caught my eye. And it was the most amazing thing. This young girl had gone into a public area, and she just had a little sign on the floor that said, free hugs. And she'd put a blindfold on herself so she couldn't see the person. You cannot believe how many people stopped, went to her just for a hug. Oh, and after, you know, I still thought, ugh, whatever. But after I'd watched about the 10th person, I started crying. I just realized, you know, how many people just need a physical touch, just need to be unconditionally loved. You don't have to preach a message. You don't have to, cause a miracle. You don't have to do all those fancy things. Some people just need to be listened to, just need to be heard. And we don't have to. You know, we put ourselves under so much pressure trying to perform. We don't have to do fabulous things. We just have to be the vessel. We just have to be available for Jesus to work in us and through us. We just have to be there. We just have to open that door of our home. We just have to stop next to that homeless person. Hello, how are you? What is your name? Just those little things can cause a huge shift in that person's life. In 2016, the World Triathlon Series finale, there were two brothers in the same race. I want to encourage you to go and look at this because it's the most amazing thing. I'm telling you, I don't watch clips, and I did quite a few in this whole story. But they were in the same race. Johnny Browley was close to the finish line when his body actually went into shock. So in the video, they show you him start doing the side dance. He's running, he's first, and he just loses it. Body goes into shock, brain is freaks out, and nothing's happening. His legs are not working. His brother, who's in second place, comes running up behind him, sees what's happening, could have run past him and got first place. He decides, oh no. He stops. He grabs his brother. He throws his arm over his shoulder, and he starts literally dragging him to the finish line. They get to the finish line. And the brother who's helping, instead of him crossing the line because somebody had passed them and getting second place, he takes his brother, who can't go anywhere, pushes him over the line so he gets second place, and he comes in third. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. How many of us would do that? I have to tell you that the guy that ran past the first place was okay. I had a good giggle about it afterwards. Yeah. Luke 9, 24 to 25, Jesus says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul, his very self? That brother decided, I don't care. It's just a worldly thing. I'm going to pick up my brother and I'm going to give him second place. And that's what God is calling us to do. So today I want to ask God that he will show us where we need to lay down areas in our lives, even if it's an offering that actually costs us. It costs that brother dearly. It's not just physical, though. It's not just physical things. Today, maybe you're carrying things like shame, or you're carrying disappointments, or hurts, unforgiveness. Those are things that we need to come and we need to lay down as well. And I was going to read you the words of the song, but we've already sung it, and we're probably going to sing it again just now. I will read it to you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take and every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Oh, my heart's cry. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord. With all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. And all that I adore is in you. I give you my heart. I give you my soul, and I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. So are you willing to die to self, to lay down all your plans? I'm a great planner. To make each day count by doing all God lays on your heart to do, making the most of each day, as we read in Ephesians 5. And then at the end of the day, being able to declare it is good, one day at a time. I believe that when we do this, contentment will come. Because we're not looking over there, we're not looking over there, we're looking here. And what have we got? We've got a beautiful hall. You know, we've got comfortable chairs to sit on. We've got so much to be grateful for. Taking up our cross and surrendering all one day at a time will bring the peace that we so desperately need in a broken world. And I'd like to end by reading, I'm not sure if I gave you this, Philippians 4, verse 11 to 13. So not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I just want to go back to that, and I want to look at it again quickly before we finish. I talk much less than the guys. You cannot say women talk more than men, no. True, eh? The gospel truth. Right. That was for Bob, the gospel truth. All right. So going back, it says there, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Whether you're standing preaching to the 5,000 or you are just ministering to that one person at work who needs to hear about Jesus, be content. Whether you've got a peanut butter sandwich in front of you or a roast lamb, thank you, Jesus. I know how to get along with humble means, and we need to learn that. We need to learn that it doesn't matter. You know what, guys, we cannot take it with us. We cannot take it with us. You can only take people with you. Don't worry about the things. Yes, it's nice. I like nice things. But you cannot take it with you. What does it matter? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul? And I also know how to live in prosperity. If you are blessed with much, lekker, but share it. Yeah, you know, invite people. Let them enjoy your home. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. So I believe that is also referring to spiritual hunger and fullness as well. But we need to be in this word and we need to be full, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things. We can do this. We can do this, but only through Jesus who strengthens us. And the Message Bible says, whatever I have, whatever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Love it. So I encourage you today, live your life one day at a time, totally surrendering your will to His. And as you do this, I believe you will live out your days contently with purpose as you do the works that He has predestined for you to do. And I pray that you will enjoy the journey. Amen.